It's Sunday morning, May 9th.
10th, I think, isn't it?
10th. Yeah, Mother's Day, 10th.
I can't remember today's my own birthday.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, by the way.
I got your note, thank you. I didn't respond to a single person. I still
good for you.
No, I just didn't take the time.
Well, then, I hope you have a missed one.
Well, actually, it does. And I work like a dog.
Right. Yeah, well, happy birthday for you.
Thanks. Right. I actually felt older this year for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got a little pain going on my shoulder, and I go, I don't need this.
Is that elk reach?
Yeah, that's going to be on there.
Well, so we could pray.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time today, Lord, that you would be here, that your truth would be made apparent. Light it up, O Lord, that it would not be any angel of light, O Lord, that we would be responding to, but it would be your light from heaven. And Lord, that we would be able to express your truth, but have an ear for it. You can hear something different from what's said. But Lord, when your spirit is upon our ear, that's not going to happen. So Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that we would have an ear for the truth, and that the truth would flow this morning. So, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen.
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 Amen. When I was in Texas one time, when we were down in Kentucky, they had a different word for instead of pray, they would say, could we all pray? And I thought that's what most Christians do.
Sure.
They pray. But anyway, I thought of that this morning where they said instead of saying bye, they say bye. Down in Kentucky. And I was in a doctor's office and the nurse was sitting there, and this lady had this little baby. And she says, to the little girl, maybe a couple years old, she says, now tell this sweet lady bye. And I thought, no, don't tell her bye. But that's the way they said it.
Heard about a lady who was down south, and she got a breakfast roll or something in a convenience store. And the clerk said, want to beg for that? And she said, please, can I have a... instead of a bag. Beg for that?
Oh,
please, can I have a breakfast roll?
See, I would not understand that. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But they say when girls go out and they say goodbye to their husbands, they say, can I go bye-bye? And it's B-U-Y, B-U-Y.
Oh,
not B-Y-E, B-Y-E. Go bye-bye.
Keep the light, that one.
Yeah, all right. You are still listening to Sam Christian's question.
Yeah.
There's a scripture in Isaiah. I thought it was in Isaiah 15, but it's not. And I was just looking for it, but anyway, it says, "You have made lies for as a refuge." You guys are familiar with this verse, I think. You have made lies as a refuge. Well, a refuge is a place of safety. You know where your security is.
Hmm.
Are you familiar with the verse?
I think I've read that.
Yeah, you've made lies as a refuge, and and I thought, does that mean all lies? Does that mean any lie? What does it mean?
Isaiah 28:15.
Oh, 28. Okay. Yeah, you have made lies. place
as a refuge.
As a refuge.
Hmm.
And in reality, God wants us to have truth as a refuge.
Yes, amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I got a couple of scriptures. Oh, I tell you one thing. You want to run into something really interesting? Read Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 9. Not right now, but I mean this afternoon or sometime soon. Read those two chapters. And I never realized it, but Moses, when he went up to get the tablets from God, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights.
Mm.
Did you know that?
No.
I didn't either, but you could see it in 8 and 9. And so then you think, well, that's a long, long time. He came down, and because they had made the golden calf, he broke the tablets that God had already made.
Yeah.
And guess what else he did then? He fasted for another 40 days and 40 nights.
That's a long time.
You read it, and I thought, how did he live? I remember that when Jesus was at Samaria, the well of Jacob, and he's talking to this woman, and they brought him back food, and he didn't want any, and he says, "I have meat to eat that you know not of," and it's like God supernaturally supplies whatever they need. So when we see Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry, of course he was hungry. But it's like whatever he needed, God would supply it for him, you know? And it must have been the same thing with Moses. Moses was angry because God had said, see, God told him, he says, go down off the mountain, he says, because they're a stiff-necked and stubborn people, and they have made an idol. And so Moses, when he got down there and saw the idol, he threw the tablets down and broke them. And anyway, so then after he fasted, you know, but what he told Moses, he said, I'll get rid of all of them. I'm going to kill the whole bunch, and I'm going to raise up seed after you. And Moses, it's like a strange thing, but he bargained with God. And he says, what will they say? What will the natives think? And it was a strange thing, but of course God wanted him to, you know. But that's the way it was set. But why did God destroy? I mean, you read it, but why did God destroy the seven nations? And you know what he told Israel? He says, I'm going to do it. He says, it's not because of your goodness. It's because of their wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. It is not because of your goodness that I'm going to do it. And, mm-hmm. You know, we miss the point sometimes. Oh, they're a good people. No, they weren't a good people.
Not at that point.
Huh?
Not at that point.
No. And you know, it was just shortly after that. I didn't know it, but you'll see it in there. But it was just shortly after that that Aaron died. It was just, I don't know how short, but it wasn't too long after that Aaron died. So his son, Eleazar, or something like that, became the high priest instead of him. There's a scripture, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 5, something. It says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Is that true?
It's true for bread.
A little bit takes care of a lot, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. And leaven, it actually is sin. It represents sin, or sin represents leaven, or whatever else, as well. And so a little sin is all it takes to destroy somebody. And so, if sin is false doctrine, or if leaven represents false doctrine, and it does, then a little false doctrine in a system is all it takes to corrupt the whole system. A little. It doesn't even take much, just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So what do we have then when we have churches today that are full of false doctrine? And what they preach and what they teach is out of the mindsets, their own mindsets. You know, we've been there and done that. We've been subject to it. And what is going to be the outcome? There's going to be problems. When I read that this morning, Deuteronomy 8:9, I read it, you know what happened? I got this awesome fear of God. Because it's like, you do what he says or else. Mm-hmm. He said, because you have not obeyed me, you have not done it. I have done these things. And it's like the Israelites came out of Egypt. So they were used to gods that were man-made, and they made out of, you know, silver and gold and whatever else. And so because that was a part of their background, you know, it's like if your background is Trinity or whatever, then that thing is going to always be there somewhere until you get rid of it. It has to be gotten rid of. And one of the problems that happens in the church, and I mean, I'm real familiar with it, is that once people have the Trinity concept, which makes Jesus a God, makes him spirit, it's hard to get rid of the thing. And so people come along and they want a pure doctrine. And so the next thing you know, Jesus is still deity. He's still God in their minds. And so they make him God himself. It puzzles me, but you know what? I understand. Hmm. You know, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. You know, you've heard the saying. Or you can take the doctrine, you can take him out of the doctrine, but the doctrinal things are still a part of people's concepts. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So a little leaven still leavens a whole lump. So we got to be careful. You know, or we'll do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Bill Kennedy this morning said that let God be truth and every man a liar. Every man. I said, I know, I can tell you all these things. I said, but it's not perfect. For as good as my heart can be, you have to let God speak to you through by his word. You know what I mean?
There's two scriptures that really impact me. All the things we talk about, one of them says that God is a righteous judge. And the other one is that God judges men's hearts. You know, it's like I thought of a number of things. I won't mention names, but a number of people that had good hearts for God. They were deceived, but they had good hearts for God. And God judges the heart. And I'm glad that he looked in our hearts instead of our concepts and our what we, you know, we try to prove that we believe.
My response to God judges the heart is, yeah, that was what I was afraid of.
But willful sinner you was after.
But I certainly, you know, that's. I was thinking here as Pablo was sharing that, you know, our tendency, our, you know, the way of it is to kind of default into the natural man. And we need to default, have the setting that you just return to be the Spirit. Have that be the thing that you be at.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is happening to a degree among us.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it might be a fairly small degree, depending, but our default has to be on God, not our own working this thing out in our own head thing.
And as we begin to share that part, I just thought about what he just shared. See, that was going back to the Spirit. That we just can't let, you know, even though I'm saying good things, da da da, it's still God that you have to listen to.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you're just saying is going on.
Yeah.
We're doing that. That's what we're doing. We're defaulting back to the Spirit rather than to the flesh.
Kind of a transition going on, maybe, but yeah. What we would all love is to be automatically in the Spirit, have His mind, have the mind of Christ. That's what we would. That would be so great.
You know, one of the issues with doctrines and stuff is that, you know, God just hasn't shown people the love, given a love for the truth, actually, but is that men speak and men listen to men, but they don't finish with God. The scripture says, Paul says, he says, consider what I said, but let God give you the understanding. You know what I mean? We can't consider what we say and let you guys give each other the understanding. You know, so we talk and we listen and we share, but then the greater step is now you go to God. And that's what I was telling Candy, you know. I said, you know, because you know, we're talking and then I said, yeah, I'm telling you all these things in love and whatever, but I will fail. Because I'm subject to Satan as, like Peter, and like everybody else. You know, my intentions are good, but I'm a liar.
Yeah.
I'm a liar.
You know, if you got more to say along that subject, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I want to go back to just something I heard earlier when you were talking that made, you know, when Jesus is telling everyone, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Well, some more understanding just came when you quoted what he said at the well. They brought him food. He said, no, I have meat to eat. So he wasn't eating real meat, was he?
Right.
So that's a direct correlation to what he said about himself. You know, it's not eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's eat the meat and of the word that I've been sharing. Mm-hmm. You know, the essence of the word. And I think that kind of showed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was just a neat little thing that right in my head, you know. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there before.
Which is, I have meat to eat that you don't know, but which is to do the will of my Father. Is that what he said? Or it might make some things up.
It could be. That's in the same.
I don't know.
Well, it's right after the woman at the well.
Yeah. I was going to talk about
Fourth chapter of John.
What is that, Deb?
It's the fourth chapter of John.
John 4.
Maybe.
Quicker than you were told.
15, 16.
Well, I found a couple. He had mentioned it. So.
See, my food is to do the will of him who sent me.
4:32.
Oh, well, of course, now, in my New King James, it says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. It doesn't say meat. Mm-hmm.
And then verse 34 is Pablo's, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and mine says food, but it's the same thing. It's not something you're going to physically eat.
Yeah. And I think he was referring, the thing that causes appetite to go away was the exchange that he had with a woman and having it just really work, have her be affected, receiving what he was saying, and I think that was...
He was doing the will.
That's right.
He came to do. He was doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost his appetite for actual food after...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And forgive me, Keith, but a lot of times when you say... Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to go, well, if God says the same, I do.
No, consider it.
Yeah,
consider it.
And a lot of times, I don't understand what I'm saying.
And I understand it's just a totally question. It's something you're used to saying. Yeah. So it just gets said.
I think, too. They're kind of two steps. Do you comprehend my words? Now you do have to make a later assessment as to whether or not it lines up with the spirit.
A lot of times I go, I line up with that. I feel it's but
another thing occurred to me in connection with this woman at the well. You know, she left her water pot. And I think that kind of suggests that she. It was the living water that she, that was her first priority at that point.
Yeah.
Forget about the stuff that came out of Jacob's well. You know. I had often wondered, go get your husband and then you'll get this living water. And then they got off the sidetrack. Well, no, I don't have a husband. Well, yeah, you know, and all that. Well, what would have happened with this living water if the whole thing had come through? I would have liked an alternate history there. Okay, I'll go get my husband, and then she'd have this husband, you know. Okay, now what? Anyway.
I mean, if she hadn't been honest.
Well, he'd have caught her up anyway.
Right, but then what would have happened?
Right.
You know, lack of faith and what?
It would have called for a different woman, one that had a husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he already knew that she didn't have a husband.
Yep.
I wonder when he realized that.
Who knows?
Whenever God revealed it to me.
Yeah, but I have thought at the time that he said, go get your husband. He maybe did think that she had a husband. And then when...
Right, and then later on.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Hello?
Hey.
How's it going?
Mm-hmm. Hi, stranger.
There's a scripture in Matthew 4:4. After a while, you lay awake in the middle of the night, and these scriptures come here. This one here, for sure. And there's a word in it that I think is a key. And it says, the devil was tempting him, and he says, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, you know, by food, but by every word. And I think the key in there is the every. by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I say that for the simple reason that it's too easy to get isolated over words that we like and words, you know, and just ignore words we don't like. There's a whole segment of the church that does not go along with the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And yet we are discovering it's one of the most major, if there's a major. I'm not even saying it's a major, but it's one of the most profound parts of the scriptures that we have. And to ignore that setting, you know, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Don't you want the power? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense why they ignore it.
Huh?
It makes sense why they ignore it.
Well, yeah.
So they don't have it.
Didn't they come to find out that it wasn't in the original manuscripts and all that stuff? Like what we do with what is in the 818. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just like this scripture over here is in all the translations, so is Matthew 28:19. You know what I mean? I don't know what you mean.
Well, I did look up Matthew 4:4 just to see how many translations and if they change it, and it's word for word in almost every one.
Matthew 4:4.
Yeah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Every word.
I don't know what we're talking about.
You were not there that day. See, I brought up Matthew 28:19. See, it stumbles our beliefs. So we came to the conclusion. No, we didn't come to the conclusion. But my understanding is that we believe as a church that that's not there. That it's. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say that. That's my understanding of what that you guys understand. Now, because we have to live out of every word of God, I don't have the liberty to say that that's not the word of God. So Matthew 28:19 is the word of God. Now, it is the word of God. And us going to up to man to see what they say about the passage, and we decide to believe those men saying that that wasn't really there, is not believing every word of God. We have to believe every word of God. If it makes sense or not, that's not the point. We have to believe it. The guys that don't believe Corinthians and Galatians or whatever, they probably did some research so they can justify not believing it. And we are falling in the same issue that they are doing. We are doing exactly what we say not to do. You know, and my understanding of Matthew 28:19, for what it's worth, is we baptize him in the name of the Son. And of the Son baptized. You know, for the will of God is that every man comes to the knowledge of the truth, and the will of God is blah, blah, blah. And the will of God is correct. Baptize him in the name of the Father, and baptize him in the name of the Son, and baptize him in the name of the Holy Spirit. So, baptize him in the name of the Son. We got that one. That's, you know, what the disciples did, baptize him in the name of Jesus. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We do. And we have, and I don't know what the baptism of the Father is, but Jesus says, are you able to be baptized but with the baptism I'm about to be baptized? And we know that's not the baptism in the name of Jesus, or the one of the John the Baptist. And we know that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he did receive the Holy Spirit. So there's a baptism that Jesus speaks of that we don't know about. Who cares what it means? It's in my Bible. It's in all. This scripture right here that's printed, we use as a cornerstone that is in all the translations. Well, guess what? Matthew 28:19 is in all the translations as well. So I don't have power or liberty to say that it's not. You don't like it? Don't like it, but it's there. So when you say, live out of every word of God, Matthew 28:19 is in every translation and in all the Bibles.
I have a Bible at home. It's not in.
Okay, this one.
Well, it might be hard, but because they researched.
Who's they? Man?
Well, same type of person that researched, but that in your Bible.
But yes, well, I got put this Bible in my God put this Bible in my hands, and it says, Matthew 28:19 says one thing, and it doesn't make Jesus God. Now, we believe Jesus is a man, and that he's not a God. Matthew 28:19 doesn't make Jesus God for me, so it's not conflicting to me. I don't understand, and that's as far as I can take it. But no, because I don't have, as long as we all believe in the Trinity, we never researched Matthew 28:19, because we all believe in the Trinity. It was there. Now we don't believe in the Trinity, and then we don't believe in Matthew 28:19.
Well, if you read further on, I mean, it says that his name is the name above every other name, mm-hmm. Jesus. And that's why they baptized in the name of Jesus. God said his name is above it, and it says everything falls under Jesus. So there is no other something somewhere else.
No, there isn't.
It's all under Jesus, according to the Father, while this earth is still what it is, until the end, and then Jesus is going to lay it all at the feet of the Father.
And that is exactly right.
Yeah. So that's why they baptized with the name of Jesus. That's why they didn't baptize like it says in Matthew 28:19.
That is exactly right. But that is in my Bible, and I have to believe it because it's in my Bible. And this Bible, God put it in my hand. We don't understand it. That's not a problem. It's beyond us. If we don't understand it, and it goes against everything that we might believe. It's in my Bible, and that is part of every word of God. Everything you said is correct, 100% true, and I believe it, and I agree with it, and I will go through it to my grave. But I will also go to my grave with Matthew 28:19, because it's in my Bible.
Well, God put what it about there. The when it was discussed that, I think Charlie brought it up, that Bible was translated 5th century? King James?
Several hundred years after.
And it shows that that whole time period was, they were Trinity. They were trying to make the Trinity happen.
What's the question?
So that's how that could have ended up in there.
It could have.
Right?
But it could
and
have
it's
happened.
In there, but it doesn't necessarily mean, there's things in there that God says, you know.
You are exactly right. And I don't care how it got to my Bible. It's in my Bible that God gave me. And I have to believe it. It is my duty before God, to believe every word that my Bible says.
Let me say a couple things. Pablo, it is good that you had brought that. And I think maybe our tendency was to take a pair of scissors and snip that out. And you have caught me up anyway in doing that. And I have to take account of the fact that that is there in a way that perhaps I didn't before. And so what you bring is good. It's good. You know, we need to hear that. I will say this, though. Jesus said that we are to live by every word of God, not believe every word of God. So, do you believe that the rooster crowed once, or did he crow twice? Tell me, which one was it? You've got to tell me.
Okay.
You don't believe every, you know.
Yeah, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Where are they? Well, he says, so Charlie, you walk to your house, says one. The other one says, Charlie, you walk 5 minutes to your house. You still walk to your house. He said, after the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Mm-hmm. And then the other one says, the rooster crowed what, twice or 3 times? And I don't, there is no conflict in the rooster crowing. There's no conflict. If you read all the things, there's no conflict. The rooster crowing.
Maybe I didn't offer a good example of it.
For example, one says the other, one says the other.
Yeah. You are not able to line up the Word of God in a perfect line.
No.
It doesn't. That's not what it is.
That's not
the document that we have. And I think I can. The Bible I have says, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I need to take account of the fact that it is in there.
Mm-hmm.
I best not, you know, redact that, whatever.
But you're using the example of Judas. But the fact is, in the end, the same thing was, the point was there. Right?
Yes.
But there is nowhere that backs up that in the scripture.
No, there isn't.
So you got to be open to think,
yes,
maybe.
Yes, but I'm not going to put my faith in maybes.
But it's kind of a maybe right now.
No, well, see,
maybe
Jesus is talking about three baptisms, not one. He's talking about the baptism of, in the name of Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism of the Father.
But if Jesus is the one that said would come and baptize with the Holy Spirit.
What?
It's Jesus is the one that baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so it's not really it's not in the same category as baptizing in the name of the
Holy Spirit. What about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We don't baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit. We're not, but we pray for it.
Right.
But that's kind of
an office of God's Spirit that He hands out.
Well, see, I obviously
there is no baptism. I have not found anywhere in the Bible that there is a baptism by the Father.
No, but Jesus speaks of a baptism. Are you able to be baptized by the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? So there's a baptism that we don't know about and that we could be missing on. We could be missing on what Jesus is speaking about. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with?
And they said, yes.
Yes.
And he didn't deny that.
Right. So we are saying no.
When you say you baptize in the name of Jesus, then if that's the name that covers all things, then maybe baptizing in the name of Jesus is baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And nowhere is that saying God in the name of the Father, who is the Son and who is the Holy Ghost. There's those commas that separate and the word and specifically between each one. So all of those aren't describing one being. Those are separate things.
Well, I've always mentioned because it says the name, not the names.
Well, but if I was to say the men were here, the people were here, whoever, whatever it is, in the name of Ken and Corky and Charlie, it's not... There's the and that separates them and the comma, those then being separate and individualized things. So maybe Jesus is covering all of that.
The scripture says, in the name of the Father, and...
Right, and there's commas in between each thing.
So there's three.
Right.
It's not baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, but in the Father, and...
And in my... What I found on Google, who's always right... But in the what popped up, it popped up in the name of the Father, comma, and of the Son, comma, and of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Which shows to me at least that there's three baptisms, but maybe somebody butchered that.
But then either way, whether that's what it is, maybe Jesus is covered. I mean, the baptism that Jesus is being baptized, we want to be like Jesus. So maybe at that point it is all of those things, but that is what it, the baptism of Jesus that covers all things.
But either way, my Bible says that, and I'm going to believe it, and because it conflicts with my personal beliefs, I'm not going to try to figure out how it got there or not. I'm not going to go outside my Bible to see what the Bible says.
And then further in there, though, if you're talking about adding or taking away, later in the Bible it says, what, cursed are they who adds or takes away one word. So there's nowhere, whoever added it, they're cursed, not whoever believed. Me believing it, that's not on me. At the point that someone added that or someone chose to take that away, those are the people that are going to be condemned, not me, the person who's believing God's word. So whether I believe that or not, I don't think the problem is. The problem is the adding or the taking.
If, in fact, Jesus said that, and it's correctly there, and if we decide to not believe it, we are in the place... We are doing what the end of Revelation says. Do you want to gamble in what you research about Matthew 28:19? Do you want to put your trust in whatever happened 400 years ago? Or you want to put your trust in the Bible that God gave you? It says, And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Are you going to trust your research that you did away from this Bible, or are you going to trust the Bible that God put in your hands? I don't care if it's wrong or right. I am, before God, I need to believe that God is powerful enough that if it says here, it belongs here. Right or wrong, that's not an issue. That's a conflict. That's a conflict with your beliefs and other things. Yes, that's why it's an issue. But my God gave him this Bible. God, not the devil. I don't care. God gave it to me. If I am to say, I don't like this, I'm going to research why it's not there, I am doing the last verses on Revelation. And I'm not going to put my faith or trust in what people study away from this Bible.
It's okay, simmer. So I didn't research after I read that. I kept reading the scriptures, listening to the scriptures to see how that was implemented. And little things just kept coming. So I'm on a little different level than you are in looking at it, because there are certain scriptures that are in the Word that God uses just to confuse people, possibly, you know, because there is no other relative thing said about it anywhere else. And so this is the same way. So listening, and first I just thought, well, it's because that's what, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's what he said to do. Baptize in the name of Jesus. He didn't say Jesus and the Father and the Son. He said Jesus. And then later, I just tried to be open, because I wanted to know, too, and that was after you had brought it the one other time. And then I just read where it says that name is above every other name. There is no other name to baptize with. That's above every other name in this realm, on this earth. Well, it actually is in the heavens, too, until God says, turn it all over to me. So what do you do with that? Are you going against the authority of God when he put the authority on Jesus? You know? I mean, it's just, you got to be open to,
I'm open.
You know,
I'm
different things.
I'm open. So,
I think the question,
so my answer is, I have no idea, but I'm not going to go as far as to go away from my Bible, to take that away from my Bible.
Well, the way that Bible was put together, have you ever looked at that?
No, because this Bible is all I need. Jesus did very many things that are not written. So this book is all I need.
I
so
know.
I'm not going to go away from this Bible
but
or anything.
Men were used to put that book together.
Yes.
And I believe they were inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But there's different translations that came later that maybe they weren't as inspired.
Yeah, but
as
I'm
the original
mm-hmm.
stuff, right?
But I'm not going to put my soul in maybes. I have to trust this book.
Well,
this book, this words in here, he says.
There's going to be a lot of things in there you're going to have to live up to, you know.
Yes, I know.
That just.
Yes.
You know
go ahead.
I was just saying, you know, I mean, I'm listening to all the kind of things that are going on, and I think basically your bottom line is you really have to have that personal relationship with the Lord. Because he really helps me to understand a lot of things that I'm going, I could read something 27 times and I'm going, I don't understand this. And it's when the Spirit of him talks to me and helps me understand. The Bible that I have is the King James Version and the New International Version. The Catholic Bible has more books in it than this one does, because when Corky's grandma died, one of the scriptures was read out of the Book of Wisdom. And I'm turning to Corky going, did I miss that? Is there a Book of Wisdom in here and I missed it? So there were other religions that kind of had added different things to it.
And it talks about that in the Book of Revelations too, and I think that the devil, through time, has used those things to keep our brain, your natural human brain, is the one that's questioning, is this right? What exactly does this mean? I don't agree with this. And you're going to search for why it doesn't, and you're going to justify that. If you're looking for something, you're going to find the answer. If you don't want that to be in the original, it's not going to be in the original. If you want to find proof that none of it's right, you're going to find proof. When you go looking for something on a one-track mind, that's what you find.
Exactly.
And ultimately, I think that's the devil's play in, where Catholic people have no idea. They're sitting in this church service with no God. God isn't allowed there. He can't move. That's already planned. That's a play. They're believing books that weren't written in the Bible. And it says in there, if you add or take away, and it talks in there about how the leaders of the churches, when you read the book of Revelations, Nikki and I one day sat and read the whole thing, and ultimately in there, the things you have to live up to, it also says, ask for forgiveness. Jesus is close to the sinners. So all of the things, expectations I have of my worldly self, Jesus forgives, they're all forgiven. They're all washed away. And all of those expectations. But if I go looking to add or to take away specifically, I think the devil kind of gets in and is then nitpick everything, and that's just a way for his grip.
Well, yeah.
And
I mean,
where did you stop adding or taking?
We were young Christians in, and I was like, really, like, is there a book of wisdom?
It's a secret book of wisdom.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't
right.
know there was a
book
of wisdom.
That would be, that's the one we're missing.
I really
so
felt stupid.
Do something.
You know, I mean, and so it was one of those things I'm like, you know, and then Kirby goes, no, like there's six different ones, because he was raised Catholic.
Right. Well, and how terrifying.
If you talk to Kirby's mom, she goes, I didn't really know there was a New Testament for a long time because the Catholics only teach from the old. And I'm going,
but yeah, well, that's a whole book. But we do all agree, Matt.
I think, and it's as Charlie said, the conversation is good. You don't want to add and you don't want to remove anything. But if you could actually find two different translations of the Bible, maybe not the one you have, but two people, two groups, feeling they follow the inspired word of God, and they don't match, you have to say to yourself, there is some question. Now, saying I'm not putting my faith in a question is exactly right. You shouldn't put your faith in anything in you, period. Your faith comes from the Holy Spirit. So you could say, this is there, this is important, and I am not going to ignore it. I'm going, fine, I'll accept that. But you also have to say, but there are other people who had the inspired word of God, and they think this was superfluous and added by man. Therefore, in the natural, you at least have to say, this is at least suspect. We don't like this scripture, or I don't like this scripture because of how many people take it and say, this is proof of the Trinity. And really, it doesn't say these are gods, it just says baptized. And getting back to that, we just assume if you're being baptized in the name of, you're being baptized in the name of a god. And because it lists three, we go, whoa, wait a minute. Now, we have more revelation that one name is greater than all, and this authority was given, and you start factoring it all in, and then when I get all done with all this, I go, I can find five or six really big things in the Gospels that conflict with each other, and I go, well, is Matthew right or is Mark right? And if you start saying, well, I don't know, but then you just say, well, does it really change what God wants us to get? And I think where he wants us to stay is searching. And so I think we have to be really careful about just slam a stake down and going, this is salvationally important. And I'm going, okay, there's things you can't ignore, but then I'm gonna be open to the fact that some deception got in. And the Lord, the Spirit, I'm going to have to separate that out for me. But I'm not going to let it become a waterloo for me, because we have to be open. If we're not open, if we're not unfolding revelation, we're lost. So I think where you are today is 100% perfectly fine. And if over the next course of your walk it never changes, and God reveals to all of us that scripture should be in it all, and we need to get the revelation for it, great. If he reveals to us, this was some people's thinking to try and help push along the Trinity talk. We have to be open to that. But, I mean, I go back to some of the other things we mentioned. I'm not intellectually going to get this. I'm just going to sit there and wait on the Holy Spirit.
But I'm not speaking about understanding. I'm not talking about understanding. And you said, yeah, there's one translation says this, and the other one says this. Yeah, there's conflict.
Something has to be resolved.
But the majority of them says Matthew 28:19. Pretty much the majority.
But that would make sense, because the majority of the world believes Trinity.
I think they all say it.
Say
all the manuscripts say in the name of the Father, the Son. All the manuscripts that we have now say
but that. I'm not standing like, I believe that this means this. All I do stand is like, this is my Bible, and I my duty.
You cannot ignore it.
I'm not going to ignore it, and because I don't have the understanding, I'm not going to scissor it out of it. Because, you know what I mean?
That's fair.
And now, if the 50% of the Bible said one thing and 50% of the other one said other thing, I wouldn't think like that at all. I say, well, somebody messed with it. But I don't have that evidence.
The best example that I would have used was the first time I came across this, I called Charlie up on the phone. I go, when Jesus came upon the man who had all the demons, and he says, who are they? He says, we are legion. Oh. One gospel says one man, and another gospel says two. And I go, that seems like a pretty simple thing to get squared away. One or two. And they still had a conflict. And I went, it was amazing to me. At some point, you know, an understanding about what the Holy Spirit meant there, that I'm a little more grace on that, but everybody can count and everybody has eyes, and they got it wrong. They didn't have agreement, which leads us to why there are more than one gospel.
Yeah.
And also, I think, just to confound the intellect.
Mm-hmm. I was raised in a Presbyterian church, and it was a really nice song. God's the Son and Holy Ghost, it was a song they sang a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And basically right now, I think God has a hotline to me, because it's like constantly, every time I screw up constantly, I'm going, God is me, and he's going, I don't, you know, because I don't understand something, or I say something wrong, or I do something that's not right, and I'm going, I'm sorry, and he goes, I'm right here for you, you know, so it's my personal relationship with him that keeps me going, because, you know,
it is more likely that we don't understand what it means, that the scripture is not there. It is more likely.
Let me say that it would be awful if I missed out on a revelation of the baptism of the Father just because I had shoved to one side Matthew 28:19. That'd be awful, you know.
And let me say, that is so typical, because when we come across a scripture we don't know, don't understand, and can't make work, we just shove it off the side.
Yeah.
We don't know what this is, and we can't explain it, and don't ask me about it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean ignore it. It says, wait till God comes back and provide more revelation.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose the natural man can preclude any kind of revelation. Maybe the Lord would be very happy to give us a revelation regarding the baptism of the Father. But we've shoved this in the closet. And so what you're saying has validity here, Pablo. I think there is a way of dealing with it in the Spirit in some way that is harmonious with, you know, in some way. But the fix better not be with a pair of scissors. And that's legitimate. That's a legitimate point that you're making.
Is there more than one baptism?
Baptism in the Holy Spirit.
And there's baptisms in the cloud with Moses and baptism of the dead. And the Bible speaks about baptisms. So maybe, I don't want to get into try to understand Matthew 28. I'm saying, but Matthew, like the Bible speaks of baptisms. Maybe Jesus is talking about, but I think that Jesus is talking about baptisms, not the baptism that people did in Acts. As in, you know, underwater in the name of Jesus. That's one of them. I'm talking about two others. Now, but how and whatever?
Baptizing them, and that's a little. But it sounds like a single baptism to me.
Well, maybe, yes, but baptizing in the name of the Father, and baptizing in the name of the Son, and baptizing in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Well, let me throw this out there. Jesus, in his baptized, we are baptized with his death. And is that the baptism of the Father? He's possibly baptized in his death and his burial and his resurrection. And I think when you came in today and we started talking about the revelation only comes from one source, there is no fast track. It's not like Disneyland where you get a fast pass if you've got enough money. There's only one way. And it's listening to the word and taking it in. And I can't reveal to Ken anything. I can't reveal squat. But I can pray that I have a love for the truth. And when I ask for a fish, that's what he's going to give me. He's not going to give me a stone or I get those mixed up, if you know what I mean. And Ken has to ask for a fish. And God has to give it to him. Mm-hmm. And you have to ask for a fish. But, like the others have adequately shared, you're right, we can't cut that out. But the revelation is only going to come from one way. And I think there's a lot of safety in this group right here because every response I hear is open, And I think that's what we have to do. We have to be open to that. And if the Lord has something for us, you're absolutely right, Pablo. I'm not going to stand here and cut it out. But I am going to pray for revelation. That line upon line and precept upon precept. I think it appears that that's how he reveals to us as we listen. And it's a recipe that starts with the listening. You have to have ears to hear. And blessed is the man who meditates day and night. Those are things you have to do. There is no, I'm just going to pay $9.99 and I got it right here. There is none of that. And I think that's where it comes from. But I am really impressed, in a spiritual sense, I'm impressed with you submitting that and feeling so strongly your love for his word and the purity of his word. That challenges me. And I appreciate that.
I will say this, that whatever we do in that room, it's not going to be a baptism in the Holy Spirit. It won't be a matter of coming up and speaking in tongues, necessarily. The baptism in water that we receive in the New Testament, the book of Acts, is a baptism in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you, I think following your line of, you are not suggesting that the formula that we should use with water baptism is baptizing in the name of the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. You're not suggesting
that. I am not suggesting that.
Yeah.
No.
You're saying that there might be, three
but
distinct things.
My general, the backbone of what I'm trying to say is not, hey, let's figure this out. I'm just saying it's here, it's truth.
Maybe the baptism in Jesus' name is covering all of those things. If the death, the burial, is resurrection, he says that it's not covering all those things. It's the name above all names.
I'm not trying to make us understand because I can do it. I'm just saying I believe what my Bible says.
Well, to go just a little further in our relatively new understanding that we don't know a lot about baptism. According to several people, there are seven types of baptism. There's a baptism of Moses in the clouds and on the sea. There's a baptism of John, showing their faith in John's message. There's the baptism of Jesus, which is water, performed by John. There's the baptism of the fire, mentioned in Matthew 3:11 and 12. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 3:11, along with Ephesians and Corinthians. Baptism of the cross, Mark 10:35-39. The baptism of believers, Matthew 28:19. Which is interesting. The baptism of the believers is a reference to 28:19. And different churches practice different modes of baptism. So the question has been on Keith's heart for a long time, like, baptism, and what does it mean, and what, you know. I didn't know there were seven types until I asked the question. And I'm going, I have a whole lot more to ponder about now when I think about baptism and how each one of those relates.
When I heard a voice 27 years ago, the revelation in that, in what I heard, is what causes us to start listening to the scriptures. And I'll tell you what it was. It was the hearing of the every word. You know what I mean? You hear every word. Mm-hmm. And so, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. And that is the problem with the church structure. They only believe what they like to believe, and they won't believe the rest of it. And so we need to be open to the whole, to the every word aspect.
Well, but it's actually much more serious than that, Keith, because we started out today by saying a little leaven, okay, you know, I'll use a different word, a little deception makes it all deceived. And if you talk about a church doctrine, which by definition is ex-scriptural, these are a bunch of things written down on what they interpreted the Bible said and made these new rules and things you have to follow, which is by definition outside or in addition to the Word of God. So if you create a doctrine, and in any way that you create a doctrine, you somehow add something to the scriptures, it's wrong. That is deception. And if you've done that, you're deceived, period. So, you know, I became fairly discouraged after the first 4 minutes because we said any deception is deception, period. Anything in addition to what's in the scriptures is deception. So anybody who believes anything that's outside of what's written down here, they're in deception. And if they have that deception, it's going to take grace and mercy to get around that.
That's true. It is a process, though. Knowing the truth is a process, and that process includes, I suppose, discarding mistaken beliefs. Yeah. But it's a process.
Well, Keith, so when you say, you know, I wonder this the last time you said it, when you say that man should live out of every word of God, is Matthew 28:19 part of God's word?
Well, and that's what we have to decide. I mean, I don't even know if the decision is the right thing.
It's unclear at the moment.
Well, I understood it would be supporting what you were saying, Pablo, when he said
no. Yeah, no, not decide. That's not the right way to say it. We need to let the Holy Spirit cause us to either see, understand it or not, or whatever.
Okay, so if we are going to decide what here is God's word or not, we are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, no, we can't decide. We have to let the Holy Spirit decide for us.
Well, I believe that the Holy Spirit maybe believe that every word in here is the word of God, no exception. So when I say I believe out of every word of the mouth of God, it starts in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. And if one says the sky is blue, the other one says the sky is mashed potatoes, I'm going to believe both of them. Even though it makes no sense, I don't understand it, and somebody messed with it 100 years ago. I'm going to believe both of them. That's every word of God. It's not my business. It's not my business to decide if it is God's word or not. None of my business.
I think that's awesome, and that is the part where in the Bible it doesn't say if you believe it, if you whatever. What it says is, for I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part in the book of life. So what I believe is what I believe. I don't dare be the person to add, take away, make that decision, or make that choice.
I need a clarification. Is that talking about the book of Revelation?
I pulled up Revelation.
And that is the question about that scripture. I think it has been interpreted to refer to the whole Bible, and that's legitimate. I mean,
I'm gonna be
you are reading it in the Bible, and it's the whole,
I'm going to be facetious. Don't touch Revelation. Do whatever you want with the rest of the Bible.
Right. That's right.
I'm being facetious.
I just don't want to be the one to add or to take.
Let's say it's about just Revelation. If you do something with Revelation, you are in trouble. Do whatever you want with the rest of the Bible. Nobody's going to, it's about the whole Bible. Don't mess with the Bible.
It's the same principle.
Yeah, don't mess with the Bible.
Once we get on that thought pattern, we have to decide or understand or...
And I would just argue that if you're going to start throwing away an entire book, you probably are on weaker ground than if you throw away one scripture and one...
It says any word, but it says any word. Yeah. It doesn't say a book, a scripture,
right,
it says any word.
I'm just saying in general, the point is...
One drop of bleach is enough for me to not drink water. One word out of the Bible is enough for me to not want to add or take.
Jesus said, not one jot of tittle will pass away from the word of God. And, this is like so...
I think there's a difference between eating the word of God and finding that it is factually correct in just as 3 + 4 = 7. Those are two different processes.
Absolutely.
And I understand Jesus to be talking about eating,
mm-hmm.
Living by the word,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't, it's different, maybe bigger,
right,
than whether or not the factual accuracy is.
So you eat all of this, I eat all of this, and just like when you eat bread and butter, you will eliminate what your body doesn't need. I will eat all this word, and I will also eliminate what it doesn't do me good. But I'm not the one to decide what chance of this word I'm going to not eat. I'm going to eat it all.
Fair enough. And that must be our hearts too.
Goes back to the revelation that's needed for all of us, because many of us in this room have believed many different things, and the washing of the water is what does that, and I think that's the sweetness. It takes away the responsibility for me to decide one way or the other, but it's the sweet washing of the water of the word, because everyone in this room wants pure water, wants the truth. And I think we all understand it only comes one way. And the good news is we don't have to be the Holy Spirit, to cut or decide. I think that when we come to Him, again, asking for that fish and seeking Him, He's going to do that. And I think we've all found it to be, on the one hand, it's painful, it's that, back to that vision of the sword. It's painful, but man, I don't want to try and get into that room without the sword cutting. I don't want to take my bags with me. I want to unpack that so that what God has for me, that's what I can become. And I think between the scripture and how so many things have been opened up, I don't think that Matthew 28:19 is a problem for him. I don't think so at all. But I certainly don't want that to become a stumbling block to me or to anyone else. He's going to reveal to us because that's what we're asking for.
And it's been repeated quite a bit. I guess I want to believe every word of God written as presented by the Holy Spirit. So I'm not even going to just make some blank statement, you know, because I could be wrong. But I'm going to wait until everything is revealed by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of areas in this that I could bring up one that really causes sore spots right now.
Don't
I'm
do
not
it.
Going to do
Don't
it.
Do it.
But there's a... But, and that's one of the reasons why he says, but man shall live by every word. And you don't get the revelation of every word
right now.
It takes time.
Right.
And I got some major revelations early this morning out of the 8th and 9th chapter of Deuteronomy. Major.
If what you were pointing out is from God, this will be the right place to bring it.
No, I'm not going to bring it.
I do think you had it right, Pablo, when you said, let the digestive process, meaning the working of the Holy Spirit, do the work. It, we best not say, oh, I don't care for peas, so just not get that in our mouth. Put that aside on the plate.
We
better not do that.
To be honest, too, I'm going to talk about myself. I still have to be careful because I don't know how many possible spirits are in me influencing some of my thinking. Because we haven't been
able to go to the bathroom, I'm not talking about angry people.
Because we know we haven't been delivered from every evil spirit.
Yeah. That's right. No, we must not be totally
and one
confident.
One comment I'll make is wherever it's hard to I believe there's a spirit of the Trinity, and I believe it is probably one of the most powerful spirits on this earth because it has captured whole countries. And so I don't know how much that spirit affects us, you know? And I think it takes a lot to be totally free from it. But, as I think some people are, you know. I kind of feel I am, but I don't know that. Because I kind of relinquished that back during deliverance, you know. That was one of the things I said, well, yeah, if you think I pray against it. And not something left, but that doesn't mean it doesn't come back too, so, you know. But, so there's a lot of aspects to this that are... It definitely takes the Holy Spirit, you know. And I got a little rough in the ear a couple times, but you know what? I got to humble myself, go before God, which I've done in the past. Same thing, same subject, actually. And just say, you show me.
Yeah, there's not really many of us in here that are righteous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Say what?
Speak for yourself. No.
I still said that wrong. I used the word many.
Yeah.
No. Powerful, sir.
And yet the Bible says, if the righteous are scarcely are saved, where does the sinner and the ungodly come in?
If you truly read the Bible, it's uphill the entire way, and if you make it, you break even.
And
that's all you can hope for.
It seems so hard what God has for us, what He wants us to do. It seems so impossible and so hard until we start getting a vision of what the end result is. What he's looking for, or what he's going to prepare for those that love him. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither it hasn't entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those that love him. That's why he's looking for us to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stillness of grace and mercy.
so that we can be a part of what he has. And if we won't, we can't be part of it. That's how simple it is. And even though Deuteronomy 8 and 9 is Old Testament, that's a shaker upper and a half. And it's a lot of these scriptures that are in there are quoted in the New Testament.
I still like how it begins in Matthew 28, though. All authority has been given unto me, which is Jesus speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so I want to be open if that scripture is relevant all the way through. I hope that you would be open if it's not relevant all the way through.
My issue is not if it's relevant or not. My issue is, I just believe it is there. I'm not trying to explain or understand what it means. I'm just saying it is true.
Are you more saying you don't have the power or authority to decide either way?
About what?
What I'm hearing you say is you don't have the power to say it's not there, or it's there, or it's relevant, or it's not.
No.
You don't have that. You're not looking for the power to add it or take it away, it away.
It's there, therefore it's true. Understanding, my issue is not the understanding. If God gives me the understanding or not, until I die, I don't care. I do know in my heart, and I could be wrong, but I wouldn't say if I thought I was wrong, in my heart, it's there and it's true. That's what I'm saying. It's not about what it means, the issue. The issue is that it is true. There is several areas in the Bible that I have no idea why, how, but it's true. I don't care. It is true. That's why I say the sky is mashed potatoes, the sky is blue. I believe both of them all day long. No problem. That is faith. And then one day God will say, you fool. That's what this is what it means. Or what all men is going to say, you fool, somebody messed with my word, or whatever. Until God says something, it's in my Bible, and I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it, because it's in my Bible, and there's more evidence. There's 100% evidence to me that it is, because it's in all the translations. And if somebody messed with it before the translations, he's the one going to hell.
Right.
And if somebody did it, God gave the devil power to do things. Even if this is not true, God put it there for me to believe it. God did it. No, changing the subject. I want to read something real quick. Okay. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own place, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man than he comes upon him, overcomes him, he takes from him and all his armor and so forth. So to defeat the devil, we have to use God, because God is more powerful than the devil, correct? So what I've experienced recently is like, so Jesus is casting out a demon. And they said, you are doing this by Beelzebub. And Jesus says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then when a strong man, fully armed. So to defeat an army, you need a bigger, stronger army. What I have practiced in the past is that when I see a demon, I'm using my own demons to defeat them. I'm pointing out demons with demons. and you get a manifestation of demons, but you don't get a solution. Mm-hmm. And it is wrong of me to use my demons to point out other demons. We are not going to get anywhere doing that. And that is a mistake. What I need to do, because if I use a demon to point out a demon, it's not in love. It's not in love. In love with God, you pray about it. You cast it out. You do whatever. Okay? So, Jesus used the finger of God to cast out demons. He didn't use Satan. And that is an issue it bothers, it bugs, it's devastating. Everybody keeps their own demons and the way they go. You know what I mean?
That's good.
So, you know what, we've been so negligent. You know, a month ago, Charlie offered to pray for me because, you know, I got the devil, you know, I have a jaw issue. It is a new one, and then I got the other thing. And Charlie said, hey, whenever you want to pray, I don't show up. You know what I mean? We don't do nothing about it. And then, you know, we're going to pray for each other, whatever. We don't do it. We've been very negligent to pray about our spirits. And, you know, when Jesus prayed for spirits, he just prayed in their hands and whatever. You know, it doesn't mean that we have to take a whole afternoon or a week to do it. We just pray for him, point him out, and whatever. You know, anyways.
It's ironic you read that, because Curtis and I literally just read that yesterday, the day before.
Yeah.
Where there's been lots of issues and things and in Curtis's life, and he can kind of share what he would want to. And up until recently, and there have been things with his back was out since Tuesday. And he's the one that told me from the time he was little that he has had demons that attack him, only the way that he felt it was just world, like normal. There's demons in me, blah, whatever. And we've talked about it so many times. So we ended up reading that, and we sat and prayed. Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably the first time Curtis has experienced something like that, with praying and asking God. And Curtis asked God into his life the other night, sitting on the floor in Emmy's room, praying. We prayed for a very long time and rebuked spirits and whatever. He hadn't worked since Tuesday, and yesterday got up out of bed with the most joy I've seen in him in a long time, with zero aches and pains in his entire body. And he's been having lots of thoughts because his body, he's made many bad choices in life and done things that have kind of ruined his body, and was starting to have the feelings of, like, maybe it's just too far gone, and maybe it would just be better if I gave up. And yesterday was the most joy. Today has been the most joy. And last night I got out of the shower to find him on the phone with his dad, telling his dad to read the Bible. So if we can pray and continue to come against those things.
So along with that, Luke, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and cured diseases. And then in 10, that was in 9, he had sent the 70 out, and when they came back, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we got to believe and accept that. But now, when I hear that, it says giving me all authority, but I don't want to come against demons in me. They might, you know, I'm going to come against them and have the Lord rebuke them and whatever, because then I'm not standing face to face with the enemy. I'm standing with Jesus behind me, you know, and I want to be careful about that, because
I can't come against a demon, because the demon will win. I'm not strong. Jesus is strong in me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Because we're not only
I have no authority.
God is bigger than the devil.
All authority has been given to Jesus in all aspects.
And I think why so many, it seems like, just came out, those people were all coming to get deliverance. They had made a decision. They didn't want whatever they had anymore, whether it was sickness or demons. And I just thought of that, I think, this morning. And that is a big point. I mean, somebody can say, yeah, I think I need deliverance. And we say, okay, let's pray. Well, we could be there forever because, really, it hasn't been resolved within them that they are really willing to get rid of something, you know, or to come against it. And so that is a big, big, big difference. Because when we started talking, yeah, we should be praying. And I thought, okay, maybe I should. And I thought, you know what? I ain't going to have prayer until I know I want to get rid of this thing. You know, because otherwise, I'm going to be partly holding on to it.
Right.
You know? And how's it going to come out then?
You know,
it's got a rut. You want to give it up.
You don't, but you want to give it up. The devil said you don't want to give it up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
but you got to really know you want to give it up for the most part. I mean you got to be willing like they did to just come to Jesus because they heard he's the guy that's casting out spirits.
Right, but see, if I ask somebody that has a spirit, a person with spirits, you are a spirit, yes. Do you want to keep it or do you want to get rid of it? I mean, they want to get rid of it. They, you know what I mean? If they say they want to keep it, that's the spirit.
Well,
or a spirit saying this is maybe just who I am. I've caught myself many times.
Your flesh can have a lot of influence on keeping it deep.
Right. What was the scripture in the Isaiah, the lies, whatever?
Isaiah 29.
Refuge in lies.
Refuge in lies. So that you are gonna take refuge in your lies. Like, yes, I'm gonna wait and I'm good in here with the spirit is fine. I will pray later or whatever. That's refuge in lies.
Yeah,
that is refuge in lies. And I mean, I got spirits. For example, my an obvious one is I overeat. So Kenny asked me, do I want to keep overeating? No. If I keep overeating, will it kill me? Yes. Let's wait 5 years for me to pray for it. Well, I may die in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So now, is it going to keep me from going to heaven? It won't take eternal life from me being like this. I don't think that having a demon will take your name away from the book of life. However, God, the scripture says, I am here to give you life and that you will have it more abundantly. And Jesus, and the scripture later says, you know, that your life may be long in the world. So until we get to heaven, Jesus does, the God, his intention, it is for us that we have a better life still. He does want a better life for us, and we have a way of having a better life on earth still. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait until heaven to have a great life. We can have it, you know, on earth as well. Not as good as heaven, but we can have it on earth. So yeah, do we? We have power to get rid of the spirit. And I don't want to take refuge in lies. You know, refuge is comfortable. It's a refuge. It's like, I know it's wrong. I don't want it, but I'm going to just keep it right here. It's a lie. You know? But
even the fact that the overeating won't keep you from heaven, but it'll keep your body eating things that aren't good or eating too much of something, and then you're as tired or you're not nourished or you're not giving yourself the things that you need, it's still like a form of self-hatred almost, overfilling your body with stuff, and it's a discomfort. So even that spirit saying, like, it's not going to keep you from heaven, though. Like, I don't want any demon, whether it's a demon that wants me to eat extra cheese or one that wants me to kill someone. Like, I don't want any spirit.
See, but the wrong thing.
Or justifying anyone.
Well, the wrong thing to me, let's say Curtis has an arm issue, okay? And it will be wrong for me to tell him, well, it's because you're killing puppies all day long when you're out like this. No, that's
I have six puppies in my car.
That would be spirit in me. That would be the devil going against the devil.
Well, and we literally prayed and asked Jesus to come against spirits and, like, in his back or things like that. Grandpa had pointed out at one point he was getting this cramp in his leg. And one night he finally just prayed against the spirit that was attacking the cramp in his leg long ago. And it let go. And so when we were praying, that's what I was thinking of. And I prayed that Jesus would come against this and that protect him and take that. It was the first day with no back pain.
In the book of Psalms, the first book, it says, you know, to those who meditate on God's word day and night. Mm-hmm. And it says that they'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. And their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will come forth in due season. And in whatsoever they do, they shall prosper. In whatsoever they do, they shall prosper. Has God been very good to us in this time of calamities? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got enough work? God has been good to us. And had to have my son-in-law's wife and my oldest daughter come and do some of their, you know, I'm teasing because it's the same person, but do all kinds of things to help me, and that has been a blessing. What a blessing this has been. And we're going to hate to see her go.
But
Keith wouldn't want her to stay, so we got a dilemma here, you know. And we have been blessed. Here's this virus coming around, hurting a lot of people, and it hasn't done anything to us. I wish I could get out to a pizza ranch, but I can't, you know. but anyway, I said that to say that God has blessed us where a lot of people are hurt. We haven't been hurting. And I think that God blesses those will do what he said, tells them to do. Who is my mother and who are my brethren? My brethren and my mother are these who hear the word of God and do it.